Hello.
And welcome to another episode of the
Coco Chronicles.
Woo! Yay! Round of applause.
Episode 5.
Yes.
Black by popular demand.
Always.
Happy Black History Month, guys.
Yay!
Still going on, still Woo-hoo! Going strong.
Yes.
So, my name's Kamina, aka Coco. I'm your host for this evening.
Yes. My name is Marista, aka I should have been in the Black Panther.
Why won't you cast me in Hollywood?
I mean, one day, I'll just be in that.
Well, you somewhere. Should see what she's wearing. She's got on this extra AF.
It's beautiful.
African,
what she means. African
print dress.
It's got all these
for
colors.
Tonight's festivities.
And it's what I feel like on the inside, but my voice is unable to convey such emotions. So I wear it in my clothes.
she expresses herself through her clothing.
That's right. We've got a beautiful buffet of topics today.
Yes, so a plethora, a smorgasmorg.
Stop saying that word. You can't say it right.
Smorgasbord.
we're going to just
jump right in
with our Black History fact. It is a little heavy, but, you know, if you can't talk about the heavy stuff and the light stuff, then...
Yeah, Black History Month had quite a few dark moments, so...
Yes. It's as colorful as my dress. Today we are talking about George Stinney Jr. In 1994, he lived in Alkaloo, South Carolina, and he was 14 years old, lived with his father, two brothers, and two sisters. We talk about him today because this 14-year-old was convicted of murder. The bodies of Betty June, Bickner, age 11, and Mary Emma Thames, age 8, were found in a ditch on the Black side of the neighborhood on March 23rd in 1944. They'd been beaten with an improvised weapon, which was reported to be some form of blunt metal, like a railroad spike, which they lived near railroad tracks, so perfectly possible. As the two young girls passed George's home, they asked him and his sister where they could find some flowers that they were looking to pick. You know, kids, innocent. And, you know, at the time of the murders, his sister said that they were together, but still he was convicted. When the two little white girls did not return home, search parties were organized, and his father, George's father, was actually in those search parties, which I feel like it would be hard for a kid to hide that they murdered two girls from their parents.
Right.
So he wouldn't be in that search party if he knew about that sort of thing. And they were found, you know, they were found in that ditch. And because he was seen talking to the girls, he and his older brother were under suspicion of the murder, and they both were arrested, but they let his older brother go because he was not seen talking to the girls. According to a handwritten statement, the arresting officer was H.S. Newman, who was a county deputy, and he stated, "I arrested the boy by the name of George Stinney. He then made a confession and told me where to find a piece of iron about 15 inches, where he said he put it in a ditch about 6 feet from where the girls' bicycles were found." No confession was signed by George, and there's no any other kind of proof that he made this confession. This is just going off of the word of the mouth of a police officer.
Of course.
And people were, you know, quick to believe this because the young boy had been reported to have gotten in fights at school. And in one fight, it was said that he scratched a girl with a knife. You don't scratch someone with a knife. You ever cut them.
Right.
You
can't
you don't.
Scratch.
That's just how I feel about it. So people, you know, easily accepted that he did it. Following his arrest, his father was fired and his family had to leave their home because it was under his father's employer, our previous employer. So not only did this arrest change this boy's life forever, but, you know, it ruined his family's life as well. They couldn't even stay in town for fear of being lynched. and they had nowhere to live. His parents were not allowed to see him before his trial. I think they saw him once before his trial and then once before he was executed. He was questioned alone without parents or an attorney, which was legal back then. That was legal until 1966. But can you imagine being a 14-year-old child
being questioned for killing?
Questioned for murder. Yeah. Two people. So, needless to say, there should have been some representation, but different times, it wasn't necessary, I guess. Sorry, this case just messes me up. The entire proceeding against George Stinney, including jury selection, took one day. So they found the jury, they had the trial, and they convicted him all in one the same day, which
is does unheard not
happen. Yes, that just doesn't happen nowadays. These things are drawn out and long and painful. His court-appointed defense was Charles Plowden, a tax commissioner campaigning for election into local political office. So he didn't, you know, this is, I mean, now it would be an ethical situation because, you know, you want to get your voters, you know, to vote for you, but, you know, you don't want to screw over this boy. No, he said, screw this boy.
Yeah.
I want these people to vote for me. So Plowden did not challenge the three officers who testified that Stinney had confessed to the murders, despite this being the only evidence against him and despite the prosecution's presentation of two different versions of his confession. They couldn't even come up with the same story.
The same, yeah. It's hard when you're lying. You can't keep up with a lie.
You can't keep up with the lie, right. There was no physical evidence linking him to the murders, and there's no written record of Stinney's confession apart from what the officer said that he said. So they went off of he say, she say in this case.
In a murder trial.
Which hearsay would be thrown out immediately in a court nowadays. Stinney's trial had an all-white jury, mainly due to the fact that only voters could serve on a jury. And since blacks
can't vote,
all of his jurors happened to be white. More than 1,000 people crowded into the courtroom, and no blacks were allowed because this was still in the time of segregation. So he was alone.
Yeah,
he was
I can't even alone imagine
through this whole thing process. Stinney's counsel didn't bring up any witnesses. He didn't cross-examine the prosecution's witnesses and offered little or no defense for the boy. Trial presentation lasted 2.5 hours. The jury took 10 minutes to deliberate, after which they returned with a guilty verdict. The judge sentenced Stinney to death by the electric chair. His family, churches, and the NAACP appealed to Governor Johnson for clemency, given the age of the boy, but others insisted that he go on with the execution, which he did. The governor stated in response to one appeal for clemency, "It may be interesting for you to know that Stinney killed the smaller girl to rape the larger one. Then he killed the larger girl and raped her body. 20 minutes later, he returned to attempt to rape her again, but her body was too cold. All of this he admitted himself. These assertions were not supported by medical examiner's report." So the governor lied to seal the guilty verdict,
right,
and to get people off of his back. There was no confession that was never stated to have been in his confession. And the medical examiner specifically went in to see if the girls had been raped, and neither of them, both of their hymens were intact, which is still possible, but rare for children, and there was no
bodily
trauma.
There
was no, right, there was no genital trauma. One of them, I think the older one, had bruised genitals, but there was no,
doesn't mean she was raped or sexually assaulted.
Right, it could have been
anything.
Right, so he lied to sell his verdict. Between the time of George Stinney's arrest and his execution, his parents were allowed to see him once. After the trial, when he was in the Columbia Penitentiary. His execution was carried out at the Central Correctional Institute in Columbia on June 16th, 1944 at 7:30 p.m. Standing 5'1" and weighing just over 90 pounds, he was so small compared to the usual adult prisoners that law officers had difficulty securing him to the frame holding the electrodes. They made him sit on the Bible he brought with him for comfort so he would be able to fit into the electric chair and be executed. The mask that they used, which was for adults, did not fit him, and after the first jolt of electricity, the mask fell off his face and allowed people to see the sheer horror of a dying child
in
front of them. He was declared dead within 4 minutes, though I believe they had to shock him another time because the first shock did not kill him. His murders, between the murders and his execution, only 83 days had passed.
So he was killed fairly quickly.
Fairly quickly. There are people who have been on death row for
years.
30 years.
Years.
And then they get exonerated and found innocent. And, you know.
Still get to live.
They still get to live. I mean, 30 years of your life gone is also terrible. But for this trial to have gone so quickly with so little evidence, you could tell it was a cover-up.
Oh, absolutely.
The reason this has come into recent history is because some of his descendants and a man named George Frierson wanted to reopen the case because it wasn't adding up that this small boy killed these girls. So they reopened the case, and on December 17th of 2004, Circuit Court Judge Carmen Mullen vacated Stinney's conviction. She ruled that he had not received a fair trial, as he was not effectively defended, and his Sixth Amendment right had been violated. The ruling was rare use of legal remedy for quorum nobis. Judge Mullen ruled that his confession was likely coerced, if there had been a confession, and thus inadmissible. She also found that the execution of a 14-year-old boy constituted cruel and unusual punishment, and that his attorney failed to call exculpating witnesses or to preserve his right of appeal. No one can justify a 14-year-old child charged, tried, convicted, and executed in some 80 days, she concluded, and said, in essence, not much was done for this child when his life lay in the balance.
Are any of these people that were involved still alive is what I want to know.
The reason they found out, or another reason that it was he was found innocent was because the man who committed murder admitted to it on his deathbed.
What?
He admitted to committing the murder, and some of his family members were on the convicting jury.
Of course.
For George Stinney. So they helped convince the rest of the right. jury and helped convict
this child. The guy was on his deathbed and he was just dying of old age or something.
Yep. He lived a long, full life.
A long, full life, having killed these two girls, having technically killed this young man.
Right.
For not stepping forward.
And he admitted on his deathbed that he was the one who was actually responsible for the murders of those two small children.
Wow.
What a world.
Yeah. What? That's just so shameful. World. It's so...
I wouldn't be able to do it.
Words can't even describe.
It's astounding to me to see how much times have and haven't
changed. Yeah.
You know, now there's a lot more research that goes into these sort of things.
Yeah, the likelihood of that happening now is rare.
Far slimmer. There's no way it's gonna happen that quickly.
Yeah.
And then the trial's gonna last for
forever,
days, if not months, to make sure that the right person is being incarcerated. Yet, as I stated earlier, some people are still spending 30 years on death row and then being found innocent of crimes they did not commit.
Now, is his family, like his like descendants or whatever, are they going to get any type of like money?
I don't think so. No.
They should.
They're getting the satisfaction of knowing that
That's not enough.
The guilty verdict has been stricken.
Give me the money.
Stop.
Give me the money.
It's not that. So it wasn't a slavery issue. He was framed for murder.
But it was still just utterly awful.
Well, then you would want to sue for damages. But I'm pretty sure the judge presiding over the case is no longer alive. The person who committed the murder is no longer alive.
Maybe the police officers, maybe the other people in the jury,
maybe
his bullshit attorney.
I think his youngest sister is still alive, but I don't know if anyone else is. So
either way, just a disgusting
it really is
thing that happened. And you know what's sad is that that's not the only time. Yeah, there's plenty of cases out there like that.
Yeah.
That happened all the time.
Yeah.
So
it's just really sad. It's just really sad.
It's just horrible. I just can't even believe it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Believe it. Sorry.
I hate to, but oh my God.
I think the sad thing is that I can believe it. Given the time in which it happened. Yeah. I can believe
Not really all that surprised.
It's just very upsetting.
Which is
that it's just now being fixed.
Talked about
this person had to die.
How many years? 70, 80 years ago?
It's been 70, at least 70 some years. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty, that's
sad.
Just, yeah, I literally can't.
Yeah.
But from one BS topic to another, I'm going to be talking about our favorite idiot, Logan Paul.
Yay.
Yet again in the hot seat.
Yes,
for doing something stupid.
The wrong kind of spotlight.
I mean, you would think he would just learn to sit down and shut up, but
nah.
Apparently that's just
too easy.
So platform suspends ads on Logan Paul's channel over tasered rat and Tide Pod videos.
Yes. By platform, we mean
YouTube. His YouTube. YouTube has suspended ads on Logan Paul's channel, citing the troubled star's recent pattern of behavior, which included videos in which he tasered a rat and suggested swallowing detergent pouches.
Mm-hmm.
The platform's decision comes after the controversial vlogger tweeted that he would swallow a Tide Pod for every retweet on Monday.
Yeah.
Later that day...
Later
that day, the same day, he tasered two dead rats and removed a live fish from water to perform
CPR.
Quote unquote CPR on it.
Yes.
His latest video, which was uploaded on Monday, comes just weeks after the 22-year-old vowed to be more sensitive towards the issue of death.
Yeah.
Paul recently returned from a 3-week hiatus after being universally slammed for picturing a suicide victim and laughing as they hung from a tree in Japan last year. Like, why, dude?
Sociopath.
I mean, I just...
That's the only thing I can think.
I don't understand.
He's probably...
Let me finish. I'm just...
Yes, continue.
So, after vowing to quote-unquote do better, after he appalled his fans with footage of a suicide victim hanging from a forest in Japan, it appears his humility did not last very long. Paul played the victim during an interview on Good Morning America where he bemoaned the fact that the scandal had lost him millions of dollars. Oh.
No. Living in a mansion.
It's been tough because ironically, I'm being told to commit suicide myself, said Paul. Millions of people literally telling me they hate me to go die in a fire, like the most horrible, horrific things. He then told interviewer Matt Strahan that the fault lay with the parents of teenagers who allow them to browse the internet unmonitored. I'm going to be honest with you, Michael. I think parents should be monitoring what their children are watching more, said Paul. Every parent I met whose kids are under the age of 9 or 12, I go, hey, you let your kids watch my stuff? And they go, yeah. And I'm like, but at the same time, it's not like I'm a bad guy. I'm a good guy who made a bad decision. So basically,
he's trying to blame other people for
letting them watch
Right.
His videos.
That content shouldn't even be out.
It shouldn't
out
right
there for them to view. You're right. It is in part. You know.
I mean, I'm sorry, but
your kids should be
white privilege. It's just as simple as that. White privilege. Anyway. In recent videos, Paul is walking around his $6.5 million mansion in Encino, California, showing off his Maverick merchandise and leading viewers out onto his bedroom balcony where the two dead rodents were. Mm-hmm. He said they had been brought there by his Pomeranian. An assistant later admitted to putting one there. Paul stood over the dead rodents on his balcony and pondered how to get rid of them, shocking his assistants by producing a taser, screaming, "No rat comes into my house without getting tasered."
Yeah.
The 22-year-old then administered several electric currents to fry the already motionless animals as his assistant screamed, "Why?" He later gave the rodent another shock after it had been placed into a large trash can, to the horror of his assistant, who yelled, "Why? It's already dead. Why?" Earlier in the video, he was filmed scooping out a fish from his extravagant koi pond and giving it CPR to, quote, revitalize it.
Yeah.
Again, this guy is a serial killer in the making. Like,
he's working his way up. It always starts with animals.
Right. It's always with the animals. It's always with the animals. And then he's going to get sick of animals and start
moving on to people.
Moving on to people. And people think this is, that's the thing, they don't take this stuff seriously, but. Right.
They don't take it seriously until something's
until serious happens.
Until missing.
Yeah.
Or
exactly.
Someone gets shot at, or.
It's just like. I'm literally at a loss for words talking about this stuff.
I'm wondering what caused him to, like, was that always in him, or
right, has he always wanted to do something like that?
Yeah, did he feel comfortable enough in his quote fame to start doing these things and feel like he wouldn't be
reprimanded
negatively affected by them, or did something just happen, like just snap when he was in Japan? And
but he just got done being criticized not even a month ago, and now he's back at it again, doing more stupid crap.
Because he was allowed to continue his life as normal. He took a little hiatus, but when he came back off of that hiatus, he made a video, like, he washed up on the shore like he was gone. But he was bragging about how many people can take a break from their YouTube after doing something like this and still come back with a million new followers. Like, he was bragging about the fact that I did this thing and I'm still being followed for it.
Right, he's still making money.
Let's
he
see
still
else
lives
I can
in a, what was it, $5.6 million mansion? Like, really? What the hell is wrong with this world?
Like, really?
What is going on?
Yes, someone,
what
you
is
know,
going on?
And I don't even just mean black people. I mean, if anyone of color had done something like this.
Oh, it's a wrap.
Unless they were exorbitantly rich, their lives would have been ruined after the Japan video.
Absolutely.
That would have been it.
That's it.
It.
Plain and simple.
And I don't want anyone to feel like I'm attacking anybody or anything, but I'm just trying to point out that there's a flaw in the system.
A flaw
that people are aware of, but continue to do nothing about.
Yeah. They won't say anything, won't do anything, brush that shit under the rug.
After his first incident, I thought that was going to be it, because I know if I had done something like that, that would be it for me. So I assumed that
it would be the same for him.
Right.
And again, I quote, white privilege.
Everything
is a thing, people. It is.
Unfortunately.
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 I'm just so over Logan Paul.
I didn't know I still had to be over him. Like, well, I thought he would have faded from my existence.
No fading. Still very much here. Unnecessarily.
Yeah.
Still very much here.
That's just wild to me. Like, who thinks, oh, my dog brought me these dead rats. Instead of thinking, ew, let me throw them away, you think, oh, man, I know just what to do.
Right. Let me taser it and taunt and play with it.
Where did I put my taser? Like, who?
It reminds me of Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm sorry, but, like, the new movie coming out about him, it started off with him, you know, having a fascination with like dead small animals. Yeah.
That's
you know,
usually, that's usually
it's like the first sign. Yeah, and like I said, people think this is a joke, and it's not that serious.
And
it is that serious.
The thing is, he's been caught. Most serial killers don't get caught doing these sorts of things, like with the small animals, that sort of thing. Like people don't know that it's developing within them,
right?
Or their parents catch them, and oh, little Timmy was just playing with a squirrel he found. Little did they know, little Timmy killed the squirrel
and dismembered it.
Right.
Cooked its body.
This we see this happening in
the progression.
Front of our faces.
Yeah, and literally in front of our faces.
No one's going to do anything about it other than suspending his ads on YouTube,
which
that
isn't
is
good enough.
Slap on the wrist punishment. You're gonna stop making millions of dollars. He could sell his house and still be set.
Oh yeah.
For
quite a while.
He won't do that, of course. Once you get used to a certain
lifestyle, he's
lifestyle. It's the reason
do everything
some
to
people
keep it.
Are able to charge their baby daddies so much for child support as well. We're used to a certain lifestyle.
Oh my God! Screw you guys! Screw you and your lifestyle. How about that? I hate that crap.
I don't. It's how things like the shooting that recently happened.
On to the next topic. I'm sure if you don't live under a rock, you've heard about yet another
something that happened just a couple
just
of days,
a couple of days ago.
No, not a couple of days ago. Yesterday,
a mass
yesterday
shooting
in the afternoon
in Florida, where we live, broke out, and 17 people were
murdered,
killed at school, trying to get
an education. It was a former student, right?
No, he was an actual student.
Oh,
yeah, he was a student. And he was working on getting, like, his GED.
Oh.
I have it right here. The guy's name is Nicholas Cruz. And he is the young man charged with killing 17 people. Oh, no, excuse me. It is his former Florida high school.
Right.
The young man worried some of his classmates talking about guns and sharing pictures of small animals he had shot. Again, with small animals.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very disturbing social media presence and had been expelled from school. Mm. He's 19 and it is Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Mm. Like I said, he was expelled last year for disciplinary reasons.
Another warning sign.
Exactly. And the attack unfolded just before classes were dismissed for the day. So right as school was about to be over.
When people are usually so happy.
Yeah, something like this happens. It says Cruz, who arrived at the scene in an Uber, confessed to the attack, telling investigators he had brought the AR-15 and several loaded magazines stuffed in his backpack.
He brought an assault rifle into an Uber.
Into an Uber.
And the Uber did not question it?
No.
The Uber didn't.
What was it in plain view? Maybe he hid that in his backpack too.
It's an assault rifle. That I don't. You know what? To be fair, I do not know the size of this gun. I don't think I've ever held a gun in my life. That wasn't a prop for a play, so I don't know the size of this rifle. It could have fit in a backpack.
Because hopefully, had the Uber seen this, they would have seen something, say something type thing.
Right.
But who knows? Who's ever gonna really know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he loaded several magazines into his book bag and planned to leave them behind in order to blend in with fleeing students, according to a police officer. After the shooting, he made it to Walmart, where he bought a drink, then continued to a McDonald's, where he sat down for a bit.
To think about what he'd done.
To think
I'm
about
sure.
what he'd done. A true motive for the shooting remains unclear.
Mm.
This guy Cruz legally bought the
yes.
caliber rifle used in the shootings.
To buy an AR-15.
So he bought it legally. He didn't smuggle it or steal it.
Right.
This psychopath was permitted to buy it,
which you know proves intent. This wasn't a spur of the moment thing.
No. He knew
and bought this gun.
Yeah, he knew
with the intent to kill people.
To kill people.
It.
He knew exactly. It was premeditated all the way. Students who encountered Cruz said he talked a lot about having fun with firearms, so much so that he joked that if anyone were to attack him at school, it would probably be him.
Wow.
No, excuse me. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. So much so that some joked that if anyone were to attack the school, it would probably be him.
Wow.
Cruz threatened to bring the guns to school multiple times. I don't... We have got to do better.
People don't take this.
They don't take it seriously.
If his classmates genuinely felt that way or jokingly felt that way, they should have told somebody.
That's not a joke. My red flag immediately.
If you start talking about stuff like that, to school,
I'm saying something. I'm gonna tell someone.
Hey, Principal Jones. So,
Principal Jones.
I want to talk about anonymously.
Right.
Please.
Please don't use my name.
I want this getting back to me. However,
homeboy's crazy.
Yes. How do you turn a blind eye?
No, you can't. They need to start teaching, like, to see warning signs and right. how to protect yourself and right. how to say something in school, because this is happening way too much.
Yes.
Way too much.
Yeah.
Like, this is getting out of hand. Control.
This is the 18th shooting in the first 45 days of the year.
Can you believe that? Like, just let that sink in. How bad it's getting.
Yes.
Here. It's getting so bad, and it's happening so much, and there's only so many times we can keep saying, oh, how terrible, oh, how awful.
But it's an isolated incident. These are not isolated incidents. These are people with mental illnesses yes. or some sort of trauma in their life who mention it to other people.
Yeah, they give you a warning. They're giving you warnings.
They give you the warning signs. They're probably hoping that you do something right about before they do.
Exactly.
And when you don't, it looks like no one cares, and then they have start whatever thinking about it more and more to do it, and they act on yep. these feelings. It's upsetting. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Like,
I'm becoming, and you know, I love being here because, you know, my family's here and I have friends here, and there are amazing opportunities in this country, but I want to leave this country sometimes yeah. because yeah,
because of stuff like this.
I fear for my life. Well, everywhere's dangerous. That is, everyone has their dangers.
Thing you were looking at?
A chart popped up. I think it was shootings per person, per country or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the lowest was Japan. Japan's extremely safe when it comes extremely to gun safe. Violence.
Yeah.
And the top, of course, was the U.S. with like 36 per person or something like that.
Point is
we lead in mass shootings and incarceration. That's America's good. A leader, all right, but not in the right things. We're not leading in education.
No,
we're not leading
safety
in business. We're not leading in health. We're leading in murder and jail. The system's broken.
Yeah, something's wrong. Something really needs to be fixed, and this so-called president that we happen to have really isn't doing shit, to be honest.
It's
really not doing anything.
It's and I'm not defending Trump. However, it's not only in the hands of the president to take care of these things. You know, it's our government officials as well, our governors and our senators, and it's a group effort. Everyone is failing as a group. It's not just this one person who holds the title. It's the people that are supposed to be supporting this person.
Right.
But they're supporting a rhetoric of violence and death and suppression and oppression. And it's wild. And so many people are awake for it and not doing anything about it. And so many people are asleep to it and don't want to wake up to it.
Stay woke.
And the more and more things keep happening, and the more I'm like, what can I do?
What is it gonna take?
What is it gonna take? Right. What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen next? You know.
People, I don't want to know.
People are offering.
We're gonna get blown up by Korea.
Thoughts and prayers instead of legislation reform, and you know regulations. Yeah, you can't. Because thoughts and prayers, you're sad.
Thoughts and prayers people can only go on, so
except
long.
For the family members and people directly involved. People move on. they may not forget about it per se, but it is not on the front burner of their mind. And
it should be.
The crickets happen, and the next thing you know, oh, another mass shooting. But why is this happening? Thoughts and prayers. How about
thoughts and prayers?
How about
that kills me?
Mental health awareness and
treatment.
And treatment and listening to people, really listening to people when they say things to you, because
nine times out of ten, if they say it, they mean it.
Someone has probably said something like this to you,
and you brush it off.
Some kind of indication that they've got something wrong, and no one does anything about it. It could be to a fellow classmate, it could be to a teacher, it could be to a family member, and so many people shut it down or disregard it. And then they're surprised when it happens. They're right. Not surprised, but they're surprised when it happens.
Like, right.
Well, you know, they talked about it, but I didn't think they were really going to do it.
No.
You don't want to take that risk.
You don't.
Because what if
that risk is your life?
What if you die?
Is your life worth risking?
What if your spouse dies? What if a family member dies? You know, whatever. The fact that someone is going to die because you didn't take this seriously, it's
pretty messed up. I was reading that one of the victims who was shot and killed was a athletic director who threw his body in front of the students to protect them from the bullets and ended up getting killed in the process. Isn't that just heartbreaking?
Yeah.
Like, this could have been avoided had the first time this little fucker mentioned
bringing a gun to school,
someone had been like, oh, nope, let me go to the principal, let me tell someone.
I'm not about and to get shot up.
Right, okay, this is kind of random, but...
Oh, dear.
There's this... okay... I have to put comedy with tragedy because it makes me feel better and I'm a weird person.
Right.
But there's this entertainer. His name's Cedric the Entertainer.
Hey.
He made a video and it was called Black People Run. And he's in the video, he's just like, you know, black people, it's not our thing to be killed with in mass shootings. That's just, we're not the right ones to get killed with a whole lot of people because we run.
I'm not going to stand around and go,
what's going on back here? What in tarnation? No.
I heard a noise.
I'm going to run.
Hide behind this bush and wait.
Wait until I think the danger's gone. It's like, nope. He was like, if somebody in here started running.
If I get shot in a mass shooting, everybody it'll be in the run. Back because I am running.
And that's it. We have a sixth sense.
Self-preservation gene.
It's like our spidey senses are tingling. Something's not right here. Something I'm going to start running.
I think I'm going to not go to school today.
Right. It's like, I have a funny feeling about this.
Yes.
Something, it's our intuition.
Right.
And
something don't feel right.
We just start running. He's like, we don't make no announcement. Hey, dog, we finna run.
No.
Nope. We just get up
and break out. As soon as I hear a gunshot and I realize it's inside the building, I'm going out the window. I'm not even joking.
Throwing my entire body out of the window.
I would rather try to survive going through a window than I'm not even joking.
A few cuts, a few bruises is
better than a hole in my body bleeding out in the classroom with people I probably don't even like anyway.
Right. Watching me die.
I mean, actually, my high school people were pretty cool, but...
Same.
Same. My point is I don't want to wait to see what's happening. I would rather find out on the news that I was the idiot who ran away
from
poppers on New Year's or something. I would rather be embarrassed and alive
than curious and
remembered
dead.
And dead. Right. Like, oh,
What's going on? What is that noise? Like, oh my God, there was a kid
who
was Snapchatting
the shooting.
And it was just like a caption, oh, our school is getting shot up right now. There's bullet holes in our computers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you imagine Snapchatting?
Can you imagine
people
your
being
first
killed?
Thought is let me take out my phone to document
instead
this.
Of let me run away
instead
from
of
the
how
danger?
Can I get out of this situation? It's not even fight versus flight anymore. It's flight versus social media. People would rather stand around and videotape
film it.
A fight. Or a cop doing something stupid, or a school getting shot up, than try and find safety for themselves, which would lead to others finding safety. Right. Because if you found a way out, I'm following you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not. We got to work together
for this.
Work
right
together.
Just because I'm running doesn't mean I'm not taking people with me. You see me leaving, you should leave too.
That's another thing that Cedric was saying. He was like, you know, white people, you got to learn, when you see us run,
just run.
Run with us.
Because you don't know what's chasing us. You don't know.
You don't, and you don't want to stop to find out.
Sure, I can. Don't be curious. Marathon, but if you don't see any other, like, if you don't see this, you know what a marathon looks like. I'm not running to exercise.
I'm running because you see the panic in my face.
Right. There's a difference between I'm going for a jog and I'm running for my life.
Someone's trying to kill me. I can't.
There should be a distinction. It should.
There is a distinction.
Sometimes, I'm not even going to lie, sometimes, unless I see someone is clearly exercising, if I see someone running, I start to go in whatever direction they're going, because I'm like, let me take an alternate route, because I don't know what's going on that way. And I don't want to end up on the news. I don't want someone to have to be calling my parents to say, I'm sorry, your daughter's dead, because someone decided they were going to drive on the sidewalk and run people over. Right. But she kept going.
But she kept going in the same direction.
Once you see the car, it's kind of too late. They're probably speeding. They're going to run you over.
Get some instincts, like, people. Get some instincts.
But I'm a nervous person.
Me too. But hey, sometimes being nervous keeps you alive. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm very paranoid. I'm always looking over my shoulder, but I haven't been attacked.
Don't be adventurous and don't go do things, obviously, because I've been out of the country.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do things.
Get out and do stuff, but be smart.
Be smart about it.
And be aware of your surroundings.
Have a sense, yes.
The one thing that I'm glad I've learned from Marista is I used to be so naive and gullible, and I would just do-de-do-de-do and walk, you know, in a dark alley and not really be looking. But being with Marissa, because of how she was raised, she's aware. I'm looking. I'm like, you know what? Nobody's going to sneak up on me. No. Like, I'm going to get the...
Jump on each other.
Right, we're going to be jumping each other. How about that? Because you're not going to get one hand on me.
I used to roll my eyes a lot at it growing up. But my dad would always say, pay attention. When he hangs up, he still does it now. When he hangs up the phone, pay attention. I love you. Pay attention.
And, you know, smart.
At first I was like, oh my God, annoying. Stop. But he's right.
You have to pay attention. In this world,
always pay attention to your surroundings. Always.
It doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing.
A lot of the times, I'll be in other people's conversations, not on purpose, but I'm listening to my surroundings. I'm trying to stay so constantly aware that I just hear whatever foolishness you're talking about.
But again, sometimes
it works.
You never know. Yes, these people would be like, hey, I'm about to shoot up this place.
All right, we're going to go to the bathroom in 5 minutes. You're going to follow me 5 minutes after that. We're going to grab the guns and we're going to do this.
Right.
Check, please.
Right. Matter of fact, forget the check. Marissa, I'm grabbing my shit and I'm leaving.
Why do you want to leave? I'm going to wait till they go to bathroom to tell you, and then everyone can evacuate.
Right.
Because I don't want to cause a scene, and then they run. And
then we're all screwed.
Right. Excuse me, waiter. Can you please have your staff inform everyone that those two gentlemen over there are going to kill everyone?
They're going to shoot it up. Okay, get out. Get out
and
now.
And also, I'm leaving.
I'll come back and wash dishes later
to you later, but I would rather have us all alive, and I can come back and pay you. Then, you know, what if they're not serious? Did I hear them correctly?
No, you heard them correctly. And you need to get out.
Stay
woke.
They could be talking about anything. No, they're talking about one specific thing and you're being ignorant to it.
Don't be ignorant.
Don't be ignorant.
It's not cute.
Pay attention.
It doesn't become you. Ignorance doesn't become you.
Not only pay attention, but when you realize something's wrong, act on it.
See something, say something.
That is what they say, and that's a good thing to say.
There's this quote that I love. It's the most evil people in the world aren't the ones who commit these evil acts. It's the people who see the evil being done and don't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to be one of those people who sees something horrible and doesn't do anything that could have saved someone's life.
And it doesn't have to be some grandiose act.
Like, right. You don't have to be a huge hero like Captain America or something like that.
Right. It could be simple as stepping outside and calling 911.
Right.
Because you heard that something's about to
go down.
I think I would be that person. I think I I haven't been that person in that kind of situation. Luckily, I've never been involved in a situation where I've known someone's going to do something like that. But in others, more like a medical emergencies, if someone passes out, I'm not the person standing there like, oh my God,
what do I do?
I'm like, okay, back up, give them space. You're going to go to that phone over there and call, you know, I almost said the alpha unit. You're going to call the ambulance, you know, tell an employee, maybe someone nearby. I'm always ready. I'm always ready because I don't want to see someone die.
No, nobody does.
I want to be responsible for that. Nobody I would does. Feel responsible
of course.
If I did nothing and that person died because of my lack of action.
That's the cast member in us. Seriously, Disney
Disney and
brainwashes you
conditioned
to
us
care to, about people that you don't know.
Yes, which is
can
not,
be a blessing and a curse.
Right,
at the same
it's
time.
Not always a bad thing. But
oh my God, so. Moving on from a very depressing
this
few topics, we're going to talk about something very lighthearted. We're going to talk about the new movies that are coming up. There's a plethora. I just love that word. Plethora of movies coming
it's
out.
It's like one of the only big words she knows.
That's literally the only big word that I know. And the only big word I will probably ever use. So I just found out literally today there's going to be a freaking Kim Possible live action movie.
I knew about that.
What?
I knew
and
about
you never
that.
Told me?
I told Melanie, and Melanie knew, so I assumed you knew.
Wow.
Yes.
You know what they say about assuming,
yes.
Don't you?
But I'm, I don't know whether to be excited or nervous about it.
I just know that they better not screw this up, because this is my child. I'm so serious. But when it comes to Disney and my childhood, those are things you don't mess with.
You don't want to mess with.
Yeah. Don't do it, okay?
It's
Shego better be black. That's all I know. That's all I care about. Make her black.
Why does she have to be black?
She has to be black.
Why?
That attitude, that sass.
Stop. She could easily be Latino.
No.
Yes.
She black. Instead of Shego, she black. Okay.
If the acting is right, you got to trust the casting.
I don't trust casting. Mm-hmm. I don't trust casting because let me tell you something. This brings us to our next topic. Aladdin, okay? These bitches put in a white actor
for no reason.
This is why I don't trust casting, because what was the point
of doing that?
There are no white people in Aladdin. Everybody is Middle Eastern. Why?
I don't know if this is true, but I also heard that they got some background actors who were also white and put them in makeup or made sure that they were tan.
Blackface, basically.
Stop. So that they would better fit in with the scenery. My question, there are hundreds thousands
millions
probably
some of, would of, question even millions
people of Middle Eastern descent in the United States or wherever you're filming. So
are they Arabic?
They're in Arabia. Why wouldn't you put out a blast casting call for background actors who fit the role? I know you don't want to seem maybe racist, but you do that for other movies where you're like, we need
How would that even begin to be racist when you're putting people from that descent in a movie
exactly.
that is about people from that descent?
Well, that's what whitewashing is.
The only that's a whole nother topic we will be discussing. The only person that's not Arabic that I justify being in this movie is Will Smith, because it's Will
the
Smith.
The genie was blue. He could have been
anybody. He's justified. All right. We're not biased here, people. He's justified. But
I was thinking that would sound like bias, but
I don't
really care what the genie would have been as long as the acting would have been on spot for it. You know, that's what I really want. I want some semblance of accuracy.
Robin Williams. Yeah.
I mean,
Will Smith's pretty
comedian.
Close to it.
Yeah, he's a great comedian. But also, some might argue Aladdin was modeled after Tom Cruise, I think.
Tom Cruise?
Yes,
okay.
Was. And Jasmine was modeled after.
Lost me.
I cannot remember, but a non-Arabic actress. So they might argue, well, you know, artistic interpretation.
No.
You sure?
I'm going to swerve on that. There's no. Anyway, talking about that really pisses me off. Moving on. The live action Lion King. I'm sure people have heard about that as well. With
what's
homeboy's
Beyonce
name? Danny Glover?
Danny, Yes, Danny Glover.
Childish Gambino, aka Childish Gambino, and Beyonce.
Isn't Morgan Freeman gonna be in there too?
He's not gonna be in there, but no? Homeboy who played the original Mufasa is gonna be in this.
Oh, so that's really exciting.
He's still alive.
Oh my God. Yes, he's still alive. He's not that old.
There's gonna be an Incredibles 2.
What I'm wondering about The Lion King before we move on from that is, are they gonna do it like Jungle Book where it's all animals and it's voice acting, or are they gonna do people?
No. It's gonna be the Jungle Book.
Okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be the. Okay. But in the Jungle Book, the reason why I'm so on board with this because the Jungle Book was awesome.
Oh.
If you guys haven't seen that movie, oh my God, those animals looked real.
Texturing and.
They look so real.
They were beautiful.
So CGI can be done.
It can be done right.
In Incredibles 2, I didn't really care so much about the first one.
I don't think she's seen all of the first one.
I haven't,
to be fair.
Not going to lie.
They just released a new trailer for the Incredibles 2.
But I'm definitely going to see the second one just because.
It looks like there's a lot of girl power.
It looks good.
In there.
Yeah, it looks, and you know, girl power. We've got. Scary movies. We've got A Quiet Place, which is about, I guess, we don't know like the real details, but I guess it's like a family who's all deaf.
I don't think they're all deaf.
Why is that?
Because they react to sound. I think the little girl, if you watch the trailer,
the trailer, it's really good.
The little girl has a hearing aid in. So I think that's why they know sign language. But the reason that they don't make noise is because. At first, I thought maybe they were being haunted by a spirit, but I think something is actually...
like a creature?
Yes. So you're right. Something like that is what's responsible for the distress in their life, and what upsets it or awakens it or like brings attention to them...
Is noise.
So
throughout the movie, it's literally just...
Them trying to be quiet.
Quiet. Just literally.
It really
quiet.
Is a quiet place. Yeah. So there are going to be a lot of jump scares with sudden sounds.
Right, and I hate
like
that. That's the one thing that gets me. You can ask for us to watch a scary movie. Those loud bumps and thumps, I can't.
We were going to go see Winchester the other night, and she chickened out.
It's not that I chickened out.
She said
I was tired.
Tired.
Moving on. we've got The Purge. Another one. I think this one's like 4 or 5. Apparently this
one
one's going to be about how
the first purge
came about. And what kills me
is the marketing campaign.
It's so simple yet so
in your
powerful.
Face.
It's a red hat, plain red hat with white writing on it. And it says,
"Make America Great Again."
No, it says the first purge and it's mocking the dumbass
Make America Great Again hat. Yes.
So just because of that, I'm going to see that movie.
Wow.
Simply because. We've got Jurassic World, ooh. Which looks...
Right.
The trailer was... I like the first Jurassic World, not going to lie.
I didn't see the need for a second
one. I didn't see the need for... But
I didn't
money.
Need, see the need for a second Jurassic Park. So.
Right. Money. Again, money.
Yes.
So that's coming out. Deadpool 2.
Which I am excited
I'm about. Pretty excited about. And again, I don't like... superhero movies. I just don't.
She likes anti-hero.
Right.
Yeah.
But because I feel like maybe I'm an anti-hero, so maybe I can relate.
She means she's evil and she doesn't want to feel bad about the things that she does.
That's exactly what I mean. Which is why she's my best friend.
She understands.
She knows.
Yes.
Did
I just talk in the third person?
You did.
I don't like that.
No. Yeah. Don't do it again.
No.
Don't do it again.
Never.
Infinity War.
Ooh, which...
For...
Our roommate just got so excited for him. She's
nerds.
She cannot wait to see that movie. I really want to see it too. I really want to see it.
I actually want to see it too.
Not on the level.
It
that
looks
Melody
good.
Does. She's you think she
yeah,
made a
you
cameo
take that drink
movie.
Of water.
You think she made a cameo in the movie the way she's ready to see this. I mean,
she dreams of making cameos in these types of movies. But yeah, so those are the movies coming out that we're excited about, and then we're going to see Black Panther
tonight.
Tonight.
So I thought I'd throw in like a couple Black Panther facts.
Here we go.
Let
her have her moment.
So the character was introduced in a Fantastic Four comic in 1961. Yes. And the Fantastic Four went to Wakanda, which is the country that T'Challa, the current Black Panther, is from. He's the king. And just so you don't get confused, this was not inspired by the Black Panther Party, nope. because that was not created until 1966. So that was not the inspiration for the Black Panther character. The title of Black Panther is a ceremonial one. It's hereditary. All of the monarchs of Wakanda are the Black Panther. And if someone who isn't a monarch wants to be the Black Panther, they have to kill the current Black Panther.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So it's like bestowed upon.
Yes, they're taking the title for their own. And then it becomes hereditary.
Oh, that's why there's all this like drama, uproar between, and stuff.
Right.
This ruckus.
He, T'Challa, has a PhD in physics from Oxford, and his nemesis in the film, Eric Killmonger, has his PhD in engineering from MIT. So these are educated young men.
Black excellence.
Yes. It's promoting education and just beauty and power. And fun fact, Storm from the X-Men in the in an alternate timeline was married to T'Challa.
What?
For 6 years. Their marriage was annulled, but they had a son together named what? Azari. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In another alternate timeline, Storm was married to Wolverine.
So Storm was a hoe.
Storm
did was hoeing around.
Storm did what she wanted because she knew she could.
Whatever.
That's how I choose.
Any whoosies.
And what's one more interesting thing? The Black Panther is immune from all diseases. He's the richest man in the Marvel Universe. His suit is bulletproof, and his superpowers include heightened hearing, sight, smell, and strength.
So you go, Black Panther.
Yes, he can run up to 50
you go, Glenn Coco.
Miles an hour. So he's faster than Captain America and Wolverine. So he's
Black excellence for you bitches.
He's in my opinion, one of the best superheroes just because he's got so much going for him.
Yeah, man. Know? Not just looks, not just money. I've got the power. He's got
strong,
the power.
Fast. He literally has
He the literally power. Has the power.
Yes.
Anyway,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to us, guys. Again, like our Facebook page, Coco Chronicles. Send us an email if you have maybe any questions, Coco Chronicles podcast @gmail.com. Follow us and like us on Instagram, Coco Chronicles, and follow us on Twitter @ChroniclesCoco. Yeah.
And go see Black Panther.
Go see Black Panther. Support the movement, man. So, yeah. Till next time, guys. This is Coco signing off.
And this is Marista. I'm ready for this film. Signing off.
Woo! Bye, guys. Bye.